Weil dann die meditativen Gedanken let be. Some of you come here quite early and sitting here and meditating. It's very encouraging to see people coming here and sitting and meditating. It shows that you really want to meditate. You really like, you really love what you are doing. I'm only here to help you, not really to teach you actually. Only if you really want to learn, you learn. Nobody can really teach you. This is a very important thing to understand. So to begin today's meditation class, I would like to begin it with a question. A very simple question, and the answer also is very simple, but think for a while. What is the biggest burden we are carrying? Just take a few minutes to think about it. Now, it's very important to ask the right question, and also it is very important to lift the question. This idea to lift the question is very, very important. Only if we lift the question, then we will get a living answer. And we have to lift the answer again. And only if we lift the answer, then we will find another very deep and meaningful question. And we lift the question again. So lifting the question is the right way to find the answer. So do you have a question? Are you living a question? Any kind of question. But the question must come out of your life. It must come out of your mind, of your heart. It must be a living question, not just a theoretical question, not just a hypothetical question. It must be something very real. So those who have real questions and those who live the question, live their life very seriously, very meaningfully, very deeply. And after they have lived the question for a long time, their life gives them the answer. It's your life that gives you the answer. You cannot find real answer from books or from somebody else. They might give you some hints only, but to see the truth of the answer, you have to look into your life again. The truth of the answer doesn't lie in the sentence. It lies in your life. So my question again, what is the biggest burden you are carrying around? Have you asked that question to yourself? If not, just ask it now. What is the biggest burden that I'm carrying around? Can you guess? Anybody can guess the answer? Mm-hmm. Right, that's right. The biggest burden we are carrying around is I. Do you feel that? I, that's the biggest burden we are carrying around. If you can just let go of that I, you feel so light again. That's the biggest burden. That's why in meditation, the first thing we learn is to see that there's only natural phenomenon, mental and physical phenomenon, just pure phenomenon. One phenomenon is mental, which is very distinct from another phenomenon, which is mental or physical or material, whichever word you like. I'm not sure of the correct word. So the first insight is to see that there's just phenomenon. Nothing permanent, no entity, no being, no I, no ego, no personality. Just pure phenomenon. And that brings tremendous relief, that unburdens the mind. So this I is a creation of the mind actually. It creates its own burden. And the first enlightenment also totally eradicates this I-ness, sapphire city, strong view of I-ness. It doesn't eradicate greed. This is a very important point to notice. The first stage of enlightenment doesn't eradicate greed. It doesn't eradicate anger even. It doesn't even eradicate competition like pride. It eradicates the wrong view of I. So sometimes people say that, oh, these people are meditating, but look, they are still very greedy. Yes, they can still be very greedy, but that greed has no backing of I. So even though they are greedy, they will not go and steal, they will not cheat. They will get what they want properly, in a proper way, rightfully. So I'll review what I said last week again, and then continue it. Nama rupanam yatrava gatanam ditti visuddhi nama. Nama rupanam. This is compound word. Nama and rupa. So nama is a process. It's not an entity. It's not a being. It is not permanent. It is not always there. Nama is something that arises. And rupa also is not a thing. Rupa actually is a quality. So please keep this in mind. Whenever we use the word rupa, we are not talking about a thing. We are talking about a quality. Like, heat is a quality, it's not a thing. Cold also the same, it's a quality, it's not a thing. It's a process. It is something going on and on continuously. It has continuity, but arising and passing away, and then arising and passing away. It's a continuity. That's why it is called a process. And this nama rupa, these two processes, they are distinct. They are not the same. So sometimes I hear about this non-duality, saying that there's no such thing as nama or rupa, both of them are the same. That is not true. They are not the same. They are very distinct. Nama is a kind of consciousness, knowing. Rupa is just an object without this quality of knowing. It doesn't know. Nama is that quality which knows. Rupa doesn't know anything. It is just pure material quality. So two different things, material and mental. And in the meditation practice, when the mind becomes very quiet and still, although sometimes a few thoughts might come and go, the mind stays on the object for a long time, and it begins to focus on one thing, doesn't put things together. Just not putting things together is very important. When we put things together, we get a concept. We get a dhyāti. When we don't put things together, when we see something purely as it is, then we really see the quality. Either nama or rupa. So when the mind becomes so still and sees pure quality, then we can see that this is just pure quality, not a being, not a man, not a woman. So this is the first insight, very important. Unless we can get to this first insight, there's no hope of any progress. And also, we come to see that there is this consciousness which is aware of this object, for example, a sound. So when I make a sound, this sound is pure physical quality. It is a process. You can see the ringing going on and on, and then it goes away. So before I make a sound, there's no awareness of this sound. So this awareness arises because of this sound. And you can see the two very clearly, very separately. And this awareness arises now. It is not already there to be aware of. It is not waiting to hear the sound. The awareness arises when the sound arises. Before the awareness of the sound, there's another awareness which is also a condition for the next awareness to arise, but they are not the same. So we think that there is some sameness all the time. Something is always there. So this is the way we create continuity in our mind. So thought creates continuity. Thought creates this idea of sameness. So when we totally stop thinking and become mindful and concentrated and pay attention to whatever is happening right now, we see that something is arising right now. It is not there before. It is right now. So, this nama rupanam yathava dasanam. Yathava means truly, properly, rightly, as it is. Dasana means to see. So to see nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena as they are, truly, properly, rightly, is called Diti Visuddhi Nama. Diti means view, Visuddhi means purity or purification. And here this word Nama means it is called. So when we see the word in Pali, this word Nama, it has many meanings in different contexts. So in some cases, some people translate Nama Rupa as name and form. That is a wrong translation. I want to emphasize that here in this place, I discussed about this with Venerable Nyanawisiddhi, and it took us 2 days. We took through many translations. So, nama doesn't mean name. Name is a concept. But nama has another meaning, which means name. Here, nama means it means. So in the first sentence, in the beginning of the sentence, nama means mental process. And in the same sentence, we have another word, the same word again, nama. So, nama rupanam yathava dattanam ditti visuddhi nama. So, the second nama here means, it means. So, ditti visuddhi means. Ditti visuddhi nama, the Pali word, to translate it, it means, ditti visuddhi means, seeing as it is, truly, properly, rightly, the process of mental and physical phenomena. So, nama rupa doesn't mean name and form. Name is a concept. Form or shape is also a concept. It's not reality. So, when we meditate and develop this nama rupa pariccheda jnana, it doesn't mean that we know the name and the form. It means that we see mental process and physical process. Wrong translation gives us very wrong idea. It is very confusing sometimes. So, for example, we are sitting and meditating and breathing in and out. At first, we are aware of the shape of our body, the shape of our nose, and even sometimes we see or imagine the shape of the air, long like a rope, going in and out. Something very long. This long is something we imagine. It's not there. Where is the long air going in and out? There's no long air. But sometimes we feel like that. And slowly we overcome all these imagination of shape and name and come to the pure awareness of sensation. Something rushing in, touching, pushing. And this touching, pushing is a process. Very simple process. But even in this simple process, we have wrong view. So to purify this wrong view, we see this simple process without mixing it with anything else. So we see that this is just pure sensation. No name, no shape. It's pure sensation. And then after a while, we see that there is this consciousness which is aware of this sensation. This sensation, it can be warm, it can be cold, because when you breathe in, it's little bit cool, and when you breathe out, it's a bit warm. So this warm or cool, or pushing, touching. What either of these, we become aware of that, we are not thinking about that, and we see that there are two processes there, two very distinct processes going on. And neither of it is a being, an entity. Neither of it lasts a long time. It is arising now and disappearing now. But in the beginning, we don't emphasize on arising and passing away. We emphasize on just pure process. So, Chidno, this mental process, the physical process, we call Chidno, Chidna. It has no Chidna. Materiality has no volition. It has no intention. For example, say, the hair doesn't know that it is on the head. And the hair doesn't want to go anywhere. Who wants to go? The mind, the consciousness. So this materiality is called Achidna. It has no volition, it has no intention. Abhyakato also. And Nama Yathava Dasana means seeing that this consciousness, it takes the object, it goes towards object, it reaches the object. We want to hear, we pay attention. This paying attention is the quality of Nama. Taking the object, knowing the object. So there's something which doesn't know anything, which is physical process, and there's another process which knows the object. So the two are very different. And these two, this nama arises because of the object. Without an object, there cannot be any consciousness. So the consciousness is not already there. For example, when I touch like this, the sound doesn't come out of this stick. It doesn't come out of the bell even. Which means that the sound is not already there. So, depending on how hard I hit, the quality of the sound will be different. It is not already there one after another, sitting there waiting there to come out one after another. So if it's already sitting there, waiting there to come out, then no matter how hard I hit, the same sound will come out. I can have no control on that. So because it is conditioned, if I change the condition, the result will be different. So the sound is not in the stick, it is not in the bell, and it is not waiting there. It happens when the stick hits the bell. So it's ringing now. That means everything is new. So to understand it as something new is very important. The same thing with seeing also. When there's no awareness, when you keep your eyes shut, you don't see what is in front. And the moment you open your eyes, something strikes your eye, and then this awareness of seeing consciousness arises. So it arises at this moment. So you can see the two different things, the object and the consciousness. Two distinct qualities. And this is called Nama Rupa Prachidanyana. And in another case, for example, when you want to move, first the consciousness arises, the intention to move, and then the hand moves or the leg moves. So in the case of the sound preconditioned the consciousness. Because of the sound, the consciousness arises. And in the case of moving your hands or your legs, it's your intention which preconditions the movement. So physical process conditioning mental process, and mental process conditioning physical process. Both ways, it goes both ways. Therefore, when we want to eat, when we feel hungry, we want to eat, then we get the food and put it in the mouth. But who is eating really? The function of eating is done by the body. The physical process. The hand takes the food and put it in the mouth. If you don't move the hand and just sit and look at the food and tell the food to come, it will not come. So the mind intends and it gives direction or instruction to the body, and the body takes the food and put it in the mouth. So the mind intends and the body eats. So mind and body eating. Not I eating, mind body eating. But we think that I am eating. In truth, it is mind-body process, eating. So if you can understand that as a process, then you have the purity of you. So the same thing, just expand that. When you want to drink, it's the same process. When you want to walk, it's the same thing. Like you are standing for a long time and you feel very tired, your legs become very stiff, you want to move. And the intention is coming, move, move, move. It really pushes the body. And then you decide to move, lift your leg, and then move it forward in places. So mind-body moving, not being moving. That way of seeing is Namarupa Vichidanyana. So in truth, there is no being. There is another reality which we call the being as a truth, which is Samudhisatya. So don't mix the two realities. In Samudhisatya, they are being, they are man, they are woman. But when we come to Paramatta Satya, when we meditate, we go beyond that and look into the qualities only. But when we meditate, we don't think about it. The important point is, before you meditate, try to think. But when you sit and meditate, don't think about nama rupa anymore. As you become more and more mindful, as your mind stays more and more on the process, it will appear naturally, spontaneously. And the understanding will be there very clearly. Two processes going on. Nama rupanam yathava dasananti. So, saying that understanding or seeing nama rupa process properly, rightly means idanamam. This is nama. This is a mental process, which means that this is not a being. This is mental process and itika nama. And nama means just this. It doesn't mix with physical process. No mixing, no adding. So normally we mix all things together and we have a very vague idea about things. Here we come to a very clear-cut scene. This is nama, and this is just nama. It doesn't mix with rupa. Although they are interrelated, they are not the same. They are distinct processes. Na ito benyo. Benyo means more. Ito means from this. It is nothing more than this. Nama is just nama. Not more than that. And idam rupam, this is physical. Heat, cold, movement, pressure, heaviness, anything. This is just physical process. Itakam rupam. This much is physical, not more than this. It has a limit. This much is physical. It doesn't mix with mental. Although it is also related with mental process. Na ito bhinno, no more than that. Teta lakkhana, tan lakkhana mukhyana. So, lakkhana means the natural inherent quality. Like he is natural, inherent quality. Its own quality. Other qualities also the same. And nama, the quality of nama means it knows. So that is quality. So this quality, seeing this quality only. Dhamma matta bhava gatana. Gatana. Dhamma means nature. Matta means death. Just nature. Bhava means quality. Dasana means seeing. So, just seeing the quality of nature, of its nature. many, many different qualities, just seeing the different qualities of nature. Atta diti mala we saw dana to. Atta means ego, self, I. Diti means view. Mala means impurity. So, impurity of seeing the process as something ego, I. We saw the na means to clean it away, to remove the impurity. We saw the na. So, removing the impurity of the wrong view of I, of the wrong view of soul, wrong view of being, wrong view of entity. So, by removing this wrong view of believing in a soul, it's called diti vidhi vedidava. It should be understood as this diti vidhi. So this is what means by diti vidhi. When a person reaches this insight, nama rupa prichidanyama, then that state of insight is called diti vidhi, clarity of you. So that comes with the first insight. Then the second insight is Pachya Parigraha Jnana. So Pachya means cause. Parigraha means grasping, understanding. Graha means thinking, actually. So, this English word, grasping, has many meanings. One thing is to grasp something in your arm, in your hand, to take it very firmly. But it also means understanding. So, grasping the cause of the phenomenon, seeing, understanding the cause of the phenomenon. They are related, but first we see the object as object and the consciousness as just consciousness. And then slowly, when this insight develops, it becomes mature. When it becomes mature, without thinking about it, the meditator starts seeing this. Because of this object, this consciousness arises. And this object is the cause of this consciousness. The consciousness does not arise by itself. Nobody is creating it. It is not arising just without any reason. It is arising because it has a cause to arise. So depending on the person's intellectual development or knowledge, different people see different aspects of causes, and some people see more, some people see less, but it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that no matter what arises, you see that it has a cause. So, for example, taking the sound again, this consciousness of the sound arises because of the sound, which is quite obvious. But we might think that, oh, everybody knows that. Why do we need to go and meditate to find that out? You don't need to meditate to find out that this consciousness arises because of this sound. We know it intellectually, but it is quite different. Intellectual understanding doesn't really remove this strong belief in self. We think that we hear the sound. I hear the sound. And in meditation, this I disappears. You see that this consciousness arises just now, right now, because of this sound. No eye hearing. And also, sometimes you hear, you come to the understanding that because of the ear, there's hearing. The hearing is a consciousness. So, sound and ear, which is the eardrum, the sensitive part of the ear, sound and eardrum is the cause of hearing. So you come to understand this again. And if you go on meditating for a long time, sometimes you come to understand that only when I pay attention, I hear the sound. Although I'm using the word I in a conventional sense. No. Sometimes there are a lot of noise going around, people are talking, but when we don't pay attention, we don't hear. So we come to understand that the mind turning toward the object, paying attention, manasikara. But that manasikara we don't hear. When we are sound asleep, although the eardrum is still working, although there are many sounds happening around, we don't hear because we are not paying attention. So this is a very obvious example. But although when we are awake, sometimes we might be reading a book, very absorbed in reading something, and somebody near us calling our name, we don't hear because we are not paying attention. When we get absorbed into another thing, and when we don't pay attention to something happening around, we don't know what's going on. We don't hear. So sound and sensitive ear and attention conditions the hearing consciousness, or hearing, just hearing. The same thing with seeing also. So we think that we see, but when we develop this insight, we are looking at something and we know the consciousness. And we know that because of the object, there's this consciousness. And after a while, without thinking, it might appear to you. Because the eye is sensitive, you see. And sometimes, you know, people come and tell me that it is so amazing, we see. Suddenly, the person found out that it is really amazing that we see. Have you ever experienced that? It is amazing, we see, we hear, how. This is happening, this is so strange, this is so marvelous, miraculous. So suddenly we feel something in a new way. Suddenly we find out that seeing is happening, it is really marvelous. Why not seeing? So one philosopher, Wittgenstein, I think. Yes, Wittgenstein, I remember that now. Have you heard about Wittgenstein? A philosopher who was a contemporary of Bertrand Russell. And in fact, he was a student of Bertrand Russell, and he replaced Bertrand Russell's place, professorship. And Wittgenstein said one thing which is very deep and very meaningful. He said, why not nothing instead of something? If you really see, understand this thing, you'll be really shocked sometimes. It's so amazing that there is something. So amazing that there are flowers, there are trees, there are insects, there are animals, there are human beings, there are planets. Why not nothing? Why not nothing? Why is there something? Just that something is there is really amazing. So in the same way, a meditator begins to find out that seeing is happening, and this is really amazing. The person sees the seeing as a new process, new experience. So most of the time, we are going about doing things very unconsciously, like in a dream. So suddenly we wake up and see that, oh, there's seeing, and this is really amazing. So you experience seeing as something really new. It really strikes you. It hits you, actually. So, I really feel happy when somebody comes and tells me like that. Oh, it's amazing. We see, we hear. And we think, why is that happening? Why is that happening? So, tat seva pana nama rupata. That nama rupa that we talked about just a few moments ago, just of that nama rupa, tisya, satya, paragrahanena, seeing the cause of it. Titu adatu kinkhan vitritva, titan, jnanam, kinkhan vitrana vistudinama. So, titu adatu means past, present, future. So, when you meditate, you pay attention to the present only. You don't pay attention to the past because it's gone, it's not there anymore. We don't pay attention to the future because it is not there. But when we understand the present properly, we understand the past and future also. So, tisu adasu kengkha vitaritva thita jnana kengkha vitarana visudhi nama. So when we see that nama rupa arises because of the conditions, because there is a cause to arise, seeing this very clearly eradicates all doubt. Kengkha means doubt. Kengkha vitaritva, vitara means to overcome, overcoming doubt. So what are the doubts that we have? We think that, was I born before? Am I going to be born later, in the future? This I, thinking of this I. But when you see the nama rupa and the process and the causes for the nama rupa to arise, then we understand that as it is happening now, it happened before and it will happen in the future if there are sufficient cause to happen. If there are conditions, it will happen. If there are no conditions, no cause, then it will not happen. So, when we are asking the question that, was I before, that's the wrong question. Will I be there again? Some people ask, what happens to the Arhant when the Arhant did his Premabala? If we are asking this question with the idea of a person, then this question is the wrong question. So there is no, in reality, there is no such thing as I, but there is process. So if you understand the process happening now, and the cause of the process happening now, then you understand that no matter what the story, we call it a man, a woman, a mother, a father, this and that, if we leave out all those names and concepts, and look at just the process, we find that in the past also there was nama process, and there was rupa process, and they arise and pass away just the way they are arising and passing away right now. So understanding the present completely eradicates doubts about past and future. So that eradicates also the doubt of who created this. Is it happening just out of the blue, just for no reason, no cause? Or is there somebody who is making it? That's also a question or a doubt. That also clears away. Because we know that nobody is creating it. The natural cause and natural result, natural effect only. And depending on the person's knowledge, sometimes if a person has studied this particular samubada, and this person will begin to see the reality of particular samubada. But if the person has not studied particular samubada, it doesn't matter. Because the basic idea of particular samubada is that because of this cause, this result arises. If there were no cause, there will be no result. If the cause ceases, then the result will cease. That's Pratitya Samuppada in brief. But if the person has wider knowledge, this person will understand that because of this sound, and because of this ear, and because of this coming together of the sound and ear and consciousness, there's a contact, Tadha and Tota and Tota Vinyana, and that condition Hatha, coming in contact with the object. And because of this coming in contact, Hatha, there's Vedana. There's some sort of pleasant or unpleasant feeling or sensation. And because of this pleasant or unpleasant feeling or sensation, there arises desire or aversion. Then we can see the reality of it very clearly. We may not be able to see it completely, but we will see at least part of it very clearly. So if you have never heard of something before, will there be never heard of, never seen, and no expectation of seeing or hearing about something, Can there be any desire for that thing? You don't even know what it is. No desire for it. So how does the desire arise? Because you heard about it. Or because you have seen it. Because of coming in contact, there's vedana. Because of vedana, there's tanha. So depending on the person's knowledge, this person, during the meditation, without thinking much, suddenly a flash of understanding comes up. Very short and brief. Sometimes even a very short Pali word, or even if you read in English, even the English word will come up in your mind. But don't think too much of these thoughts, although they are very deep and profound. If you go on thinking, then it interrupts your continuity of mindfulness, observation. So in between your meditation practice, these thoughts will come up again and again. Just wash these thoughts off, thinking, reflecting. And these thoughts in those moments can be very powerful, and it has a lot of energy, very deep, very clear, very inspiring too, that sometimes you want to talk about it. You can't stop talking about it. So when that sort of thing happens to you, it is very important to understand that, because if you begin to talk about it, then you lose your mindfulness. So during the meditation, for a retreat or in any other situation, if you really want to develop deeper insight, don't think about it, don't talk about it. But it is very hard to control. And we develop so clear insight and we feel so happy, so relieved, that we want the same thing happen to our friend, whoever is close to us. We know that if this person understands this, he'll be really relieved. Because when you feel it, you know how relieved you feel. This burden of I. Once you see Namarupa, once you see this, the cause of Namarupa arriving in passing away, you feel tremendous relief. And there's a lot of joy, rapture, a lot of sadhya. Then you believe in the Buddha also. Somebody told me that when he first experienced this, he felt a lot of joy, rapture in his body, and then immediately he thinks of the Buddha, the thought of the Buddha. Buddha was really right. He was really right. And many people, at that moment, they want to bow down and pay respect to the Buddha. Real respect, real veneration appears. True sadhya appears. You don't force yourself. It happens so naturally. So one of my friends also, who is a good meditator, he was sitting and meditating, and when he developed deep insight, he said, "I pay respect to the Buddha who taught this mindfulness." A very new way of paying respect, actually, very personal. Not because of any reason, not because of any other causes, just because he taught this mindfulness practice. I pay respect to the Buddha. In the text, there are many different doubts mentioned, but not all these are necessary to go through. So the first thing is that, before this life, was there I? That's one doubt. Before this life, wasn't there I? So this is the same question, actually, from different angles. And if there was an I, how was that I? In what shape, in what form? Was that a man or was that a woman? All sorts of doubts people have. And in the last week, I talked about one of my friends who was a woman. He is now a man. So don't be too proud of being a man. And don't be unhappy about being a woman even. Nobody is better, actually. It's your practice, it's your understanding, it's your heart. It really counts. So, was I a woman? Was I a man? What sort of doubt? Was I a European? Was I an Asian? also of God. But when you understand this thing very deeply, you will see that all these names and texts are just conventions. Something happened before, because as long as there are sufficient conditions, sufficient cause, there will be results. So what I